Welcome, everyone. This is the Board of Adjustment meeting for February the 13th. Could I have a roll call, please?
Falk.
Here.
Gallagher.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Spranger. Gallagher.
Here. This board is a five-member board appointed by the mayor. It's the responsibility of the board to interpret the zoning ordinances for special uses and variances as they apply to the city ordinances. Each member has had an opportunity to go out and view the site in question and usually comes to make a decision at the meeting. The next item on the board is to approve the minutes of the December 12th meeting, as we did not have a January meeting. Is there a motion to do that?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Could you have a vote?
Falk?
Aye.
Gallagher?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Gallagher?
Aye. There's also the annual report. Did everyone have an opportunity to look at the annual report and make a motion that we accept that?
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, and could we have a vote on that, Lisa?
Falk?
Aye.
Gallagher?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Gallagher?
Aye. The next item is an election of officers, and if someone would like to make a motion to that decision.
I move that we cast a unanimous ballot for our existing officers.
Thank you.
Second.
Could we have a vote on that, Lisa?
Falk?
Aye.
Gallagher?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Gallagher.
And Falk is the...
That's right, David.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Item A on the agenda is case number 14-006 at lot 25, Villas of Glen Galvin, second edition, and the entirety of Highland Point first edition. It's a request for a variance to reduce the required combined side yard setback from 15 feet to 10 feet as submitted by Town and Country Bettendorf. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
This site is located northeast of the intersection of Devil's Glen Road and 53rd. It's accessible by going north on Devil's Glen onto Thunder Ridge and then down the at the end of Cavan Crossing. The applicant would like to develop a condominium-style subdivision with detached individual units or structures. This design, they feel, will allow more light to penetrate into the individual units than would side-by-side attached condominiums, and would be in keeping with the smaller lot and the condominium style sense of community. This developer believes that there is a desire for this type of project and already has had inquiries for this product. Believes that retired and smaller families who do not want to maintain the larger lots that are typically being developed throughout Bettendorf would like to come to this type of a setting. A typical lot layout on the more uniform rectangular lots would be as follows, with 5-foot side yards on each side of the structure. If allowed, each unit would have the condominium style design as if they were side by side, as you're seeing in many of the areas in the community. For the past several years, the staff has been going to many seminars or conferences or training seminars. We've been told about trying to embrace this new urbanization concept with smaller lots, perhaps smaller structures, a more centrally located neighborhood with a sense of community to it. Oftentimes, this concept incorporates sporadically throughout it a light commercial aspect to it too. Perhaps on one corner of this development you would see a coffee shop, on another corner you might see a small restaurant or bar and grill, however you would refer to it, so that the community becomes walkable and the people stay within the community to do that, or the neighborhood. That was the original design concept for the area immediately adjacent to what we're discussing right now. The area we're discussing now is right here, and the previous area that I'm now going to discuss is surrounded Alameda Boulevard. That concept originally was presented to us by Dial Corporation, was to have first floor commercial and then residential up above it, and again with that new urban, the urbanization style community. So this being immediately adjacent to what was already brought to us previously, perhaps is a good location for a test site if we're interested in seeing something like this happen. Again, this area is immediately adjacent to what has yet to be developed that we previously spoke about. Although you would be reducing the combined side yard requirement, you are not going to be making a denser type of development. As you can see, the side-by-side units immediately next door, they're even smaller lots than what's being considered here, and they do meet our ordinance requirements. So it's a new concept. It doesn't necessarily mean you're making a denser neighborhood. In fact, it's going to be less dense in many senses. And if we are to try something like this, this probably, in staff's view, is a good location for that test site. It will either be successful or fail on its own merit. And with that, we will have a real world test of this concept to see if it's something that we want to embrace and perhaps officially adopt into some type of a new residential designation in the zoning districts. We're currently, we've selected a vendor to serve to walk us through our new comprehensive plan, and as a result of that, when that's finished, we anticipate considerable changes to some of our ordinances as part of that process as well. So the timing is correct. If this is something that you would like to see and that is desired by the community and can be successful, perhaps it's something we could incorporate into a new residential zoning district. I believe that summarizes the request before you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request?
Mr. Chairman, before we start discussion on this, I would just like to go on record. Because of potential conflict of interest, I will be unable to participate in any discussion of this subject and must abstain from the vote.
Okay, thank you. But is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak in favor of this request? Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak against this request? You want to go to the podium, sir, and state your name and your name and address, please.
Yes, my name is Roger Pidge. I live at 4037 Charles Court in Bettendorf. I recently purchased a home there on Charles Court about a year ago, and we had the benefit of having an open lot just to the east of us, and that gave us a lot of open air. We didn't feel like we were encroached upon. Recently there was a building permit issued for that lot. It was an undersized lot, but it went through with a smaller unit. But what we're finding already is that with the building of that new structure, we've really lost our privacy in our dining area. Additionally, the single units along Thunder Ridge and in the second edition of Caven Crossing have what I would call more normal spacing. But the proposed spacing on Caven Crossing in the Highlands Point first edition would become much more closely spaced at 10 feet. Given the variance, there would be really no continuity with the earlier phase on Caven or with the surrounding single-family and side-by-side units that were just pointed out immediately east of the proposed lots. I know that Mr. Dolan builds extremely quality product, very good. He's an asset to the community. However, I believe that the spacing will visually detract from the perceived value of his units as well as the neighboring homes adjacent to those proposed homes. Therefore, I oppose the variance.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Would you go?
I'm Sue Loaf, and I reside at 4004 Charles Court, which directly borders the area requesting rezoning. We have 220 feet of lot line along that area, and I know I'm talking for other residents in our area that border that. First, I want to thank you for this opportunity to speak about this. We became aware of this request for this rezoning when we actually called the city about another rezoning request in our area, because we saw a sign posted about that one. And we saw no signs at all posted in our area for this rezoning request. So this caught our whole neighborhood off guard. I looked up the requirements in the ordinance for the posting. And it said that two rezoning notification signs containing the date, time, and place should be clearly posted by the applicant on the property for which the request has been made. On large parcels, additional signs may be required to be posted. The property in question here in the red box is actually not accessible off of Thunder Ridge by a road right now. So the closest road point is Wilderness, which dead ends where that property is, because we drove back there and cannot get to that property by road from Thunder Ridge. So if there was a sign posted over there, which none of us saw, it didn't do any good. So I'm glad that we found out about this and were informed by the city when we called about the other issue. I listened to the audio from the planning and zoning meeting, because none of us were aware that was going on. The last time the city did an overlay district in Bettendorf was in 1996 at the Legends. I think that speaks to the reason why this shouldn't be done. I drove through the Legends. If those are 10-foot setbacks, it's really sad. Those homes are on top of each other. The staff actually did not make a recommendation to the Planning and Zoning Commission because of the infrequent requests for an overlay district in R3. They said that, in fact, an overlay district has never been done in an R3 district in Bettendorf, and it's only been done in a 4 and a 5. And the staff relayed that information at the meeting. At the Planning and Zoning meeting, the chairman said that their hardship had to be shown by the developer to request the PR3 overlay rezoning. The developer stated that his hardship is that he's trying to meet changing needs of the consumer and a market segment. He stated he can provide nicer housing in a single-family unit versus an attached unit. He also stated he had separated 8 of his units in the phase 2 addition, and 7 of those 8 had already been sold. Now, my understanding is those lots that were sold with single family were not 50 feet wide. They were the normal 70 feet wide. And apparently he didn't have any problem selling those right away with a 70-foot wide lot.
I feel the lot size and side yard setback does not create a hardship for that developer, as evidenced by the 7 of 8 single families that have already been sold. The person speaking in favor of the rezoning said he was a lifelong Bettendorf resident, as I am. I've lived in the Highlands now for 8 years, and I do want to set the record straight that living in a duplex unit certainly does not lower my quality of life. That was stated by the developer and by the person speaking in favor of it. In no way has that happened. Natural lighting was stated as being another issue with attached units. Actually, if you put 2 units with 5-yard setbacks, they are on top of each other, and that would detract natural light, as Roger spoke to, because he now has a unit right up against him. Driving around in Bettendorf, there are a lot of homes with no windows on one side, so I don't think that's a valid reason. We drove out to Davenport to look at the development that Dolan has done. He does great work, but the development he did was single family units and double units. The side yard setback is 10 feet combined, 5 feet on each side, and the lot widths are small, and they look like they are on top of each other. It's not pleasing. And I chose to live in Bettendorf because I like the zoning requirements, I like the building requirements, and I like the neighborhood feel. I don't want to feel like I'm living on top of somebody. Even in our duplex units, we do not have that feel. The current lots are zoned 45 feet wide. I don't think that is wide enough to put a single unit on. You're going to have a 5-foot. There are air conditioners just about touch when you do that. The question I had was about the plat that was included in the packet. Dolan stated that he had changed some of the lots to single family. And at the entrance from Thunder Ridge is where the single family units were done. And on the plat that was shown on the screen, those lots, I don't believe that's the right plat. It couldn't be if those are single family units, because the lots are only showing, I think, 50 feet wide. So if those were built on a 50-foot lot, was a variance obtained for those?
Can you answer that question, John?
I cannot. I don't know.
I thought these were 50-foot lots with 5-yard side yard.
That's what they're asking you for, yes.
These
will be side-by-sides, just like their units. That's why those are smaller, but the majority, yes, sir.
But if existing single-family were already built, wouldn't they have had to obtain a variance to put them on a smaller than a 70-foot lot?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Which lot she's talking about, Bill, if
Go
you
ahead,
do,
Bill,
I don't.
You know.
There's no.
Can I ask a question of somebody in the audience?
Sure.
Mr. Janicek, didn't Mr. Dolan come in and replat some lots in that first edition to get singles?
As far as when that one, second edition?
Yeah.
I had to look through the files. Truthfully, I didn't work on that project. Right? I could go do some research while we're talking. I got all the files.
Yeah, the engineer that worked on that project now works for one of the other local municipalities, so Mr. Janicek's new to the project. So my recollection is they came in and they replatted some lots to make some singles in there.
Does replatting require notice to the area or not?
Should be signage, yes.
Okay, so then I should take it that those single families were built on the 70-foot wide single lots. Which would indicate to me,
I would think so.
Which would indicate to me that he really didn't have any problem selling them if he sold 7 of 8 of them right away, which to me just does not justify the hardship he said he had in developing single family, because he's already sold 7 of 8 with a 70-foot lot. The person speaking in favor of it also said that he wanted the smaller lot to eliminate the yard work and the lawn care. In a community like that, I just want to state that yard work and snow removal is done. So we don't have to go out and take care of the yard. So we don't care how big our yard is. We like the big yards. We have somebody that comes and does that weekly. In a development like that, that's what happens. We've driven around Bettendorf. We see a lot of single-family units like he wants to develop. Those developers seem to have done a good job and don't seem to have any problem selling those. For example, Wyndham Hills, the villas at Crow Lake, the villas at Crow Valley. Those are on normal residential side lots with a normal side yard setback. And we just don't want or to desire to be test subjects for something that the city wants to try. We chose to live in Bettendorf because we have faith in the zoning and the building requirements. And we don't think any hardship is created that justifies a 50-foot lot, but most of all, a 10-foot side yard setback combination.
Can I ask, ma'am, what your side yard setback is?
My side yard setback was a combination of 15, and we have much more than that.
Because you're on a court.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. But the other ones next to them probably do not.
They do.
They do have that
yeah.
much space.
Yeah.
Don't they have a common wall?
They have a common wall.
Well, yeah, in the center, yeah.
Side. I assume they have the 15.
One side is zero. Yes.
But they have a zero.
Yes, sir.
Line.
One's a 50.
And John, with this we have a 31 foot street, won't it?
65-foot right-of-way, yes, it'll meet all the street requirements, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, see, the legends is 27 feet.
Yeah.
And that was the penalty there, as far as density is concerned. Yeah. Is there anyone else wishing to speak in opposition to this request?
Not in opposition.
Would you like to speak in favor?
Yes,
ma'am. Yes, sir, go ahead.
I'm Tom Pasternak. I'm the attorney for Dan Dolan. And I guess what I'm trying to figure out at this particular point of time is to take it back, and if Mike can help me here. If we're talking about marketability, which I think maybe the developer should have the right to, but if we didn't do this, if we weren't here and we weren't arguing about the setbacks and we just kept it zoned the way it is, then my understanding would be that we would be able to put the duplexes side by side on each of these individual lots, and we'd actually have more density and less space. So in all actuality, what we're trying to do is create more space, and we're using the overlay to go ahead and advance that argument. So I understand that they perceive that there's going to be a denseness or a lack of openness, but in reality, it's just the reverse, as I would understand it, as to what the development could be. So with that in mind, and Mike, can you kind of share anything further on that issue?
Yeah, that's exactly correct, what he just said. And basically, Dan wants to have the option of being able to put single-family units that would be the same size as the attached, and now there'd be an additional setback between the units. So and instead of 45-foot lots with a 40-foot home and a 5-foot side yard setback and attached, now you've got two 40-foot separate homes with 5-foot setbacks, side yard setbacks for both homes. So basically have 10-foot additional space for those lots. And that's what he's pursuing. He feels that's how the market is going, is that right now people would prefer to not have attached. That's what he's selling more of. So he just wants that opportunity here in Bettendorf.
Thank you.
Well, I live on a court like that, and they have 10 foot between each unit, and it seems to work out fine there. The only problem is in the court area, you have more room because of the distance between one unit and the other, even though they're double. But the problem with the court in some ways is the snow that builds up there. There's no place to put it in the court. And has the developer indicated any place where he could put snow in a court like that, a designated area?
He hasn't directly told me that, but I mean, basically there's gaps between the driveways that there'd be space to put it. You know, I'm sure that
problem can be rectified. We're not doing really anything different here than, you know, all over, that's been built all over the Quad Cities. We try to take care of the side yard variance that we're discussing today. At the previous P&Z meeting when we were rezoning to the PRD, but the PRD in Bettendorf doesn't allow you to adjust the side yard, so we basically have this additional step. But this same thing was discussed at the P&Z meeting, and it was unanimously approved. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to pass that on.
Maybe it'd be helpful if you explained a little bit of the process. I'm gathering from what's been said that it's been already approved by the plan and zone as a PR3.
But let's even take it a step back from there. Okay. Before it gets to there, staff has a development review committee meeting. That development review committee has a representative from every department in the city: police, fire, public works, engineering, even parks and recreation come to the meeting. And every one of them looks at that and reviews it, and as part of that, I can assure you, one thing that is scrutinized the most by the Public Works Department are cul-de-sacs, and they've reviewed this. And that was done before it was even submitted to planning and zoning. And then, yes, sir, it did go to planning and zoning, and Bill, am I right, was that unanimous?
It was unanimously recommended to City Council for approval.
And now it's subject to our granting of a variance for the setback.
It is.
If they want to build the same 40-foot unit on there, they need a variance. If they don't get the variance, then they're looking at maybe replatting the lots or going to 35-foot wide units.
And the just I think I'm right, but I want to make sure, on St. James Court, those are mostly, if not all, zero lot line properties, right?
That's correct.
And the lots are 45 feet each.
Yes.
So they have two houses on 90 foot. This is a proposal for two houses on 100. Okay. Just so I make sure.
Expanding on your question, Mr. Gallagher, procedurally, perhaps it would be best if you are going to make some, if a recommendation is to approve this, you might want to make that approval dependent upon this specific project, so that if it changes sometime in the future, it's not going to, that variance will not remain on those lots if the whole plan changes. So if you want to have some type of approval, you might want to attach it directly to the plan that you have before you.
Otherwise, it could snowball to another one without Jim.
Correct.
Yeah.
It would be unlikely, but there's an assurance there that you have that it won't.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak to this, please?
Yes, I'm Teresa Barker. I live at 4017 Charles Court. And speaking of procedurally, I think the main point is that to change the variance, you have to show a hardship. I mean, let's go back to the beginning. Isn't that what it's all about? Right. And as Sue pointed out, there is no hardship, bottom line. Secondly, I think the timing of this meeting was really poor. 5 o'clock, when people work. I think that you'd have a lot better showing of our neighborhood if it was, we had more notice, the signage was put up, and it wasn't at 5 o'clock. I think that's really in poor taste. I feel like you guys are trying to push something through
We meet every month at 5 o'clock on the second Thursday of the month. It's been set for years.
Well, there was no signage in our neighborhood for us to know that it was going to be regarding our neighborhood.
Board of Adjustment is published in the newspaper. We receive affidavits of those publications from the newspaper before this public meeting takes place. Mm-hmm. And over and above what is required, which is simply the publication in the newspaper, staff also notifies neighbors by sending courtesy letters 200 feet surrounding the request.
And so then where was the
in
signage?
Addition,
where was the signage?
The signage was in the newspaper. The signage is not required for a variance.
If I may, the sign is required at the time they make application to the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Correct.
there is not any signage required at the time they go to the Zoning Board of Adjustment. That notification is what Mr. Sengson just explained.
Okay, so then I want to go on record that I oppose the variance.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to speak to this issue? Seeing none, is there any discussion from the board? Dave's out of it.
Yeah.
Somebody has to make a motion.
Well, may I say something, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'd just like to explain to the applicants that we have four members present. One has abstained. So you need an affirmative vote from the three remaining applicants for this to be approved, if you were not understanding that. So.
As I understand it, anyhow, the actual density on a lot-for-lot basis will be less than on St. Charles Court or than what was previously zoned for this piece of property. Plan and Zone has approved the overlay, and the issue is solely for us to determine as to whether or not the setback would be acceptable.
Side yard setback.
The side yard setback. Mm-hmm. As opposed to a zero lot and 15, we're talking about, or whatever it happens to be, we're talking about 5 and 5.
5 and 5. Mm-hmm. I live in that type of area, and it works out fine.
What specific, maybe it would be helpful for you to tell us exactly what specific findings we need to make in order to approve or disapprove. From the ordinance standpoint, what is the chart? The application sets forth four or five different things that have to be shown or whatever. Want me to read them, or do you want me to do it?
There's going to be more vision between than putting a double unit on a lot. One.
That granting the exception will not permit a use in the district that is in conflict with the permitted uses, that it will not impair the adequate supply of light or air to the adjacent properties, that it will not unreasonably increase the congestion in the public streets, that it will not increase the danger for fire or public safety, that it will not unreasonably diminish or impair established property values within the surrounding areas, and that it will not in any other respect impair public health, comfort, safety, morals, or the welfare of the inhabitants of the city.
It seems to me that I find that the proposal will not do any of those things. And so I guess based on that, I would make a motion that we approve the variance specific to this piece of property, and specific to this particular development, and also subject to the final approval of the Plan and Zone and the City Council.
Final approval of the plat by Planning and Zoning and City Council?
Correct. Okay.
Is there a second to this motion?
In light of where we're at, I would recommend that at this point that the petitioner would seek a full meeting with ZBA so that we could table this for one cycle. That'll allow the neighbors the time to come out, and we can have a full hearing on this.
We can do that, sir.
Thank you.
Is there a motion to table this?
I move we table this.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Epstein.
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Yes. And also, there is three access in and out of this eventually, from Craven Crossings and Wilderness and Glen Velen Way. Is that correct? There will be three.
Ultimately, there will, yes.
To this. Yes, eventually, yeah. Okay. So item number 14006, lot 25 at Villas of Glen Velen was delayed for the month of March, okay? Thank you. Case B is 14007 at 2435 Spruce Hills Drive. It's a C1 district. It's a request for a variance to reduce the required front yard setback from 25 feet to 15 feet to allow construction of a restaurant and to allow parking within the required front yard, submitted by Steve Ryan Parco Limited. Is there an affidavit of publication?
There is.
Thank you.
I think we're all familiar with the site of the...
Yes. Could I interrupt for a second?
Yes. I'm sorry.
To avoid the appearance of conflict, I'm going to have to abstain from this vote.
Okay.
Therefore, since this is the last item on our agenda, I might remove myself from the panel.
Excuse me.
I think we're all familiar with the site of the Wendy's restaurant in the area of the Cumberland Square Parking Center. The site is outlined in red in the graphic displayed before you. It is the desire of the owners of the restaurant to tear the old restaurant down and completely rebuild on the site with a new building, a new lot configuration, and a new configuration for traffic. The several things will be happening. The current building is oriented somewhat like this. It will be rotated approximately 45 degrees counterclockwise to the new orientation. The current driveway will move from here. I'm sorry, that is more or less an exit. The current exit of the site will be moved from there over to here, moving it approximately 100 feet to the west. Additional property will be added on the west side to add additional traffic flow, parking, and a larger buildable lot. And with the reconfiguration of the building, there will also be a reconfiguration of the parking, which is part of this request. It has always been very tight to get around the back of the building, which is where you now order your food and then proceed around. If somebody is parked there ordering the food and they get stacked up, others trying to circle around the building to get out have a difficult time doing that. So they would like to move this building farther forward. There will be a very slight protrusion of the new structure into the required setback, and you can see that small part of it being displayed with the highlighted orange section on the display before you. That is the only portion of the building that requires the variance for the setback. Also, there is a reconfiguration of parking spaces, and there will be six spaces closest to the exit, which will be predominantly in the required setback. And then there will be a portion of one space here that will be approximately halfway into the required setback, and perhaps 1/4 to 1/5 of that parking space into the required setback. With the entrance moved 100 feet, I'm sorry, again, the exit moved 100 feet farther away from the intersection. It'll allow better stacking at the intersection of Spruce Hills Drive and Middle Road so that it won't interfere with that exit. It doesn't happen often, but periodically there is enough stacking at the intersection that traffic does back up, especially around the noontime when this site is the busiest. Staff sees that as a positive. Gives a better line of sight issue for people exiting. There's approximately 45 feet between the paved portion of the roadway and any obstruction from the building, giving plenty of room for two to three vehicles to be stacked in front of the building awaiting exiting so that they also have good line of sight in both directions. And if allowed, the new design of the building would be as shown in the display before you. I believe that summarizes the request before you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request?
Hi, Jason Holdorf with Missman, representing Parco Limited. John, that pretty much covers everything. The only other part that I would add is the entrance there is also now aligning across from, I believe it's Azteca.
Correct.
Two, three, or four, I can't remember. Sorry. One of those, but anyway, it's just off of the site, just off the topo limits there, but that does also line up across from there. So
if you move it 100 feet, it's almost going to come in where the old entrance was, isn't it? Somewhat?
Pretty close.
Pretty close,
correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Anything else, sir? Okay. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, what's the board's decision?
I assume that the six parking places that do encroach the most are needed in order to make code on parking.
That is
correct. Do you know what your parking counts are?
I don't know. Never should ask a question you don't know the answer to, but I was just curious whether they needed all of those for that purpose, that's all.
I haven't done the calculation. Judging from the larger size of the building, looking at the parking spots, I think we'll probably need those.
There was a calc on one of the plans that did show that they had more than what was needed, but that has been a problem in the site in the past, and now it's only a short period of time. It's around the noon hour, but the extra parking at times is helpful.
I didn't look at the shopping center, but they park pretty close to the right-of-way, too, don't they? With the duct at the Cumberland Square. They park fairly close to the city right-of-way.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. That's correct.
Yeah. Is there a motion on this item?
I will make a motion that we approve as submitted, as requested, case number 14007.
Is there a second?
Second.
Call the roll, Lisa.
Paul.
Aye.
Gallagher.
Aye.
Molliker.
Aye. Thank you. Is there anything else to be brought before?
Nothing further. Thank you very much.
Thank
Mr.
you.
Yes.
Oh, Bill.
You might want to talk a little bit about our comprehensive plan interviews that we had, and we selected a consultant. We're getting ready to move forward with that process.
Some city people met last Wednesday and Friday all day at different sessions with different vendors for the comprehensive plan, and the city selected one, and we're in negotiations with that company at the current time. So there may be some changes that you would want to keep apprised of, so there'll be some city meetings and some other information going out, so just to keep it in your mind. Thank you.
I for one was very impressed with the quality of the four firms that submitted.
Very much so.
Submitted the interview with us.
Very much so. I guess that's it. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Are we off the air?
No. Is there a motion
to adjourn? Then I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second? We're adjourned. Thank you.